Are you looking for a home run when it comes to bathtub or shower remodel? Bathfitter will install your tub or shower in just one day. The Bathfitter price guarantee is a score. Special financing available. No money down, no payments for 5 years. Visit bathfitter.com to schedule a free consultation today.
I want to circle it back to the way the national media outlets are now approaching covering Jokic, knowing that he's going to be in the finals and has a really good chance to win. But let's bring in our head honcho of DenverSports.com, editor-in-chief James Merrillat on the line. James, we're discussing the advent of social media and its effect on the sports world. And maybe Kyle and I are reminiscing too much, but we do recall a point in time where the story of the sport, basketball or otherwise, was actually enough for the coverage and the narrative. And it didn't have to be about everything else when we're talking about the way the Nuggets have encountered these narratives throughout the playoffs and somewhat played to their advantage of being a disrespected or an overlooked team. But do you have the same recollection of a point in time where the actual game and sport was enough to determine the narrative and not everything around it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, remember the day when SportsCenter was actually about, like, highlights from the games? And it was, you know, it was Rich Eisen and Dan Patrick doing highlights, and it was about the actual play on the floor or the field or the ice. Yeah, I mean, that is how it used to be. It sort of made the turn when they started having to fill the 24-hour cycle of talk when they started doing the talking head shows. And then it became, well, let's talk about all the off-field stuff as opposed to what's going on the field. And you see it, it's not just the Nuggets. And look, we're in the middle of it, and it's bothersome and it drives you crazy. But, you know, you'll see it every year in the 2 week gap between the championship games and the Super Bowl. It turns into all the conversations about, you know, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do, and what is this player going to go do, and what's this drama, as opposed to, well, the biggest game of the year is coming up, and nobody's talking about the X's and O's part of it. Yeah, it has definitely made that turn. I remember those days. I hearken back to them, and, you know, kind of nostalgically, but it is what it is. It's the drama off the court, and I think that's what Chris Mannix was talking about when he said, hey, this team isn't interesting. It's because they don't have any of that drama. They had one guy on this roster during the year that was even borderline drama-filled, and that was Bones Highland, and he got shipped to the Clippers. There just isn't that kind of stuff. There's not infighting. There's not players who dislike their role. It's not Aaron Gordon, as an example, you know, saying, hey, why am I the fourth option on this team? And that makes it to where it's not an easy team to cover because they're not just giving you layup, so to speak, in terms of storylines. So, yeah, I'm with you. I remember those days, and it was, it sounded like the typical old guy sitting out on the lawn chair, right? It was a better time. I agree with you guys on that front.
Yeah, James, I think it frustrates us because we're so close to it, and yeah, you do feel like your city's being disrespected, and maybe to me, it's lazy media because there's no championship team that doesn't have a story.
Sure,
you know there's plenty of things in adversity that these guys have overcome. Are the Nuggets any less compelling than Toronto was a few years ago, or maybe even Milwaukee? These are small market teams that, you know, did they feel put upon at the time? Do you recall those things?
That's a great point. And, you know, I mean, you had Kawhi Leonard who had gone to Toronto, but other than that, what was the story? Giannis is a great player, but similar to Jokic, right? A multiple-time MVP playing in a small market. But, yeah, what was the drama with that team? And they probably felt a little bit like that. And, you know, it's I'm not saying Nuggets fans are wrong because I feel the same way. But at the end of the day, the way you get people to pay attention to you is you just have to go win. You just have to go do what the Nuggets have done. They've gotten more attention in the last week than they had probably in the prior 5 years, and that's because, hey, they're going to the NBA Finals. So nothing shuts up that narrative in the national media and forces them to look at you quite like being, you know, one of the final two teams alive. And I think the best comparison for the Nuggets is the Spurs. And nobody wanted to cover San Antonio. And that was, you know, and look, I'm watching the games, and I think the Nuggets are getting a bad whistle. And I think, you know, hey, they want Phoenix to advance. They want the Lakers to advance. Just like back in the day, the league did not want San Antonio continually being in the finals. And there they are with five banners. So at the end of it, if you go out and you win, people are going to have to give you your respect, going to have to give you your props. And that's what the Nuggets are learning, because, you know, you turn on ESPN yesterday and there's a 4 or 5 minute story on Jokic. So at some point, if you're still out there and you're still alive and you're still playing, they have to pay attention to you. They don't have any choice.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough road for the tinfoil hat crowd if Victor Wembanyama is going to San Antonio and Miami and Denver are in the finals.
I'm one of those people. I'm one of them. But you're right. And, you know, and I've had people talking about this with the finals of, you don't want the Celtics. You're not going to get a good whistle. I think once you get to the finals, what's the league care at that point, right? Like, they're not trying to – do I think they would rather have the Lakers advance round after round after round? Yeah, of course. Like, the worst possible thing for the league would have been the Lakers getting bumped by Minnesota and then losing the next game in the play-in and they're done. So, yeah, but once you're to the finals, okay, maybe you can get an extra game or two, but I think a lot of that stuff starts to go away. But, yeah, man, I'm a tinfoil hat guy, and you're right. It does become a tricky argument when it's not the number one prospect. It's not Patrick Ewing going to the Knicks. We'll put it that way.
James Merrill at DenverSports.com, joining Chad Andrews, Kyle Reese today in for Schlereth and Evans. I want to switch gears just a slight bit here, James, because you're a native and you grew up here. I don't recall for Super Bowl 48 or Super Bowl 50 any of this happening. I'm sure it probably did when you go back to the first 97, 98, or even the earlier Super Bowl runs for the Broncos. But I'm seeing something around Denver now that I've never seen before in my time here since 2001. I drove by Ball Arena yesterday. All the tents are going up and the, you know, extra accommodations for the finals coming to town. And it looks different than it ever has for the Stanley Cup final coming into Denver and the arena. And more importantly, what I'm seeing and hearing about around different parts of the city that I've seen in New York, I've seen in Los Angeles, I've seen in Chicago, and I've even seen internationally, there are pop-up vendor tents showing up around our town for the Denver Nuggets. This is the, you know, as Ice Cube would say, bootleg t-shirt of the month with "you can't touch this" on the front, showing up at different corners, not just downtown, but when you get out into the suburbs, not far from the station here at I-25 in Arapahoe, right? Have you ever seen this before? Did it happen with the Broncos? And did you ever think you would see something like this happen in our city?
It's reminiscent of the Broncos when they went to the 3 Super Bowls in 4 years in the 80s with Elway, and they lost all 3. That was how the town was back then. I'm old enough to slightly remember 1977, but I feel like that's one of those things where I've heard the stories so many times from my dad and my grandpa and people that I feel like I was there, and I actually wasn't. But in the 80s, it was like this, and it was, you know, all the radio stations playing the songs that people had made about the team, and instead of "I Love L.A., it was "I Love Elway," and just playing, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, it kind of has that feel to it. By the time it got to the 90s, you know, heck, there were a lot of people in this town who didn't want him to go back to a Super Bowl in Super Bowl 32. Like, oh, man, we got to do that again. But, yeah, it's got the same feel as it did in the latter half of the 1980s when the Broncos were going to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. The town is into it. I think this is much more of a Nuggets town than a lot of people think. You know, I think it's always Broncos number one, and then it's kind of like, hey, who's ever winning? But the Nuggets, I mean, they've been here since 1967. You know, there's a long, tortured history with this franchise, and I think that it's just one of those things that it's a fan base that just is ready to explode. I think if they win it, I think the parade will dwarf what happened last year with the Avs. I think it'll be pandemonium downtown. So, yeah, man, it's kind of cool, though, to see all these pop-up things and all this stuff going on. It's very organic. And I was in Dallas in the early 90s before they won Super Bowls with Jimmy, and it was the same kind of thing. You had pop-up stuff around town, and you could buy your, you know, Buffalo Sucks t-shirt heading into the Super Bowl. That's what this feels like, and it's kind of cool to be a part of it. You know, it's kind of that old saying, if you know, you don't know you're in the good old days while you're in them. We are right now when it comes to the Nuggets, and it's fun to be a part of.
Here we go with this. I'm old enough to remember stuff. But I am old enough to remember the pop-up tents on the at the gas stations on the corner for Super Bowl 32 and 33, and particularly 33 after the Broncos had won. And now it's like, okay, back-to-back, there's a lot of energy behind that. I think this, because of the reasons that you alluded to, is a little more special. Because it has been just such a tortured franchise. You always got the second best version of a lot of players like Allen Iverson and Chauncey Billups and maybe even Kenyon Martin. So there's something special about this. Can you dive a little deeper for me into the tortured, 40 years that we've been watching the Nuggets and why this is such a special moment in Denver history?
Yeah, it's just it's a franchise that, you know, anything that can go wrong does go wrong, right? They have arguably the best player in the league back in the late 70s in David Thompson, and he falls down the stairs at Studio 54 and tears up his knee, and he's never the same player. They get to the Western Conference Finals in 1984 to play the Lakers. It's 2-1. They're playing Game 4 at McNichols Arena, and Alex English, who's the leading scorer in the entire decade of the 80s, breaks his thumb. They lose that game and then get blown out in Game 5, and they're done. 94. They have the big upset of the Sonics. Everybody's talking about that team of like, hey, man, this is a great young franchise. A couple years later, Dikembe Mutombo leaves from free agency. They get nothing for him. Lafonso Ellis blows out his knee the summer after that big run, just playing pickup ball. It's just one thing after another. And, it, you know, it goes all the way till you get Melo, and he's here, and he wants to leave. You have a really good team, and George Karl gets cancer and can't coach in the playoffs, and Adrian Dantley gets bounced in the first round. It's just like, man, you name it, it goes wrong. And then you throw into that, and I do think the tinfoil hat part of it is something that fans really do feel of like, it's never going to happen. They just can't overcome it. I mean, when you're 0-7 in the playoffs in series against the Lakers prior to this year, you do sort of just feel like, hey, the basketball gods or the league or something is stacked against you. And so to finally overcome all of that, yeah, that's why it's just it was the pure joy that came out when they were able to beat the Lakers. Because even up 3-0, it was, hey, I'll believe it when I see it. And it just was one of those things that is like, man, I don't know that this is ever going to happen. To me, there's always been the, hey, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it and something could happen in Denver sports, what would it be? Well, the Broncos have obviously won Super Bowls. The Avs have won Cups. For me, it was always, hey, the Nuggets to win an NBA title or CU to win a national championship. And to me, they both felt as equally implausible, right? Like you look at CU and, you know, what SEC football is and what Alabama is and all that kind of stuff. It's like, man, they're not even close. That's how it felt with the Nuggets. So to be there, to be on the precipice of it, on the cusp of winning a title, it just seemed like something that would honestly never happen. And especially with this franchise, because anything that could go wrong did. And here they are with a mostly homegrown team, a guy that was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial, and they have a chance. And I'm not going to go all Mike Evans here with this column about how they're a dynasty in the making. It's like, okay, let's go win one first. But they're going to be good for a while, and we're going to have a good run. So, yeah, it is definitely a pinch-me moment for anybody who's a longtime Nuggets fan.
Here's the difference for me, James, and again, when you're so close to it, when you grow up with it, when it's your team, there's a lot of you don't know what you don't know when you've never accomplished it. And I think now there is some perspective that can be provided because everything that people talk about in terms of exercising demons or getting past the Lakers or finally getting to a finals or potentially winning a championship and all of those things that people thought about the Nuggets being cursed or it was never going to happen, at no point in that history were they ever the number one seed with the best player, which is historically how NBA championships are won. So I think there's a little bit of a reset on perspective as to how the fans have to look at it going forward, where Denver is finally in a place where Nuggets fans who have suffered can look at this and go, oh, yeah, we didn't win, but we didn't win because we weren't the best. Regardless of all the other things that may have happened around it, we weren't the top seed. We didn't have the best player in the world. That tends to be what happens in the NBA is those teams win.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And I remember thinking that and kind of coming to that realization when the Broncos won their first couple of Super Bowls of like, oh, this is what a championship team looks like, right? Like when they got there in the 80s, it was, you know, kind of miraculous that they were able to do it. It was Elway just putting the franchise on his back and taking them there. It was the fact that the AFC was down. There's a reason why the NFC won 14 consecutive Super Bowls or whatever it was. And then when you see them with a win a championship, when it's a roster loaded with Hall of Famers, when it's Terrell Davis, a league MVP, like, okay, this is what a championship team looks like. And you compare that to, you know, no disrespect, they were a ton of fun, but you, when you compare that to the teams that went in the 80s, you're like, well, yeah, no wonder they lost. And you're right, the Nuggets had never lost when they were supposed to win it, right? Like, in 1994, they beat the Sonics, they're down 3-0 to the Jazz, they force a Game 7 and they lose. It's like, yeah, they lost to Karl Malone and John Stockton. They didn't have anybody as good as Karl Malone or John Stockton on that roster. So in order to get there before, it would have taken, you know, kind of a miracle. That'll happen in football where it's a one-and-done type of playoff situation. Pretty rare that that's going to happen in a seven-game series. So, yeah, I think now when you look at this team and you look at Jokic and Murray and Porter and Gordon and just, like, how good this team is and the depth of this team and compare it to those Doug Moe teams or the 94 team or even the Carmelo Chauncey team, it's like, yeah, okay, it is different, but you don't know what it looks like until you experience it, until you see it. And yeah, I mean, it, you know, the fan in me can sit there and feel cursed, and it's the same guy who will sit upstairs and continue watching Food Network during the third quarter because I think I'm going to jinx them if I stop watching them when they're making a comeback. The rational person in me goes, well, I have nothing to do with it. And the rational person in me says, yeah, this team is in the finals and those teams weren't because this team is much better than those teams. And they lost to the Showtime Lakers in the 80s as an example, right? I mean, that's Magic and Kareem and Worthy and Byron Scott. You know, Alex English, Calvin Knott, Wayne Cooper, and Fat Lever weren't going to beat those teams. So, yeah, you're right. You don't really know it until you see it. And now I think we do get the appreciation of, okay, this is what a championship NBA team looks like. And we'll know that going forward, but it's hard to – it's almost impossible to artificially teach yourself that until you kind of go through it and experience it.
You don't know this, James, but actually I blame every Nuggets loss on you. So,
hey, man, I got a beard that looks like, and I know you're not supposed to do a playoff beard in basketball, but last year I started one at the start of the Nuggets and Avs and didn't shave, and the Avs won the cup. This year I did it again. The Nuggets are rolling. I look like either I should be talking to a volleyball at this point or churning butter, but, man, I ain't shaving, and I'm not going to be the one that ends the run.
Oh, man, you think about the redemption or maybe the finally happened stories in Denver history. The Broncos finally got over the hump in Super Bowl 32. The Avs, after the playoff disappointment over the last 5 years, finally get over the hump last year. The Nuggets, after the last 10 years of having the exit of George Karl and Masai Ujiri after they were the executive and coach of the year, won the franchise high 57 games. Describe the redemption that you can see this culminating in if the Nuggets go ahead and knock it out.
Yeah, it'll be very similar to Super Bowl 32. And that was one where you just thought it's never going to happen. Like, it doesn't matter who's on this roster, doesn't matter who the coach is, doesn't matter how good the team is. It's just not meant to be. And then when they won it, I mean, I can remember where I was watching the game. I remember standing there. I remember looking at my brother and dad and like, what do we do? Like when John Mobley knocked down the pass, we weren't quite prepared to celebrate because we weren't used to that moment. To me, that's a little bit how I felt when LeBron didn't get the call. That's certainly how I'll feel if they get four more wins. I think it's right up there with that. You know, I think the Avs last year and overcoming the second round demons that they had was certainly a great story and a redemption, but it's nothing quite like a franchise that has been, you know, tortured for five plus decades. So it'll be right up there. It'll be one of those you can't quite believe it's happening, which is all the more reason I think you're going to continue to see more and more pop-up tents. You're going to see a parade that is going to be just craziness. Because I do think there's a lot of people who just thought this is absolutely never going to happen, not in my lifetime. And here we are. So, yeah, it will be the equivalent of the Broncos finally winning a Super Bowl, which sounds crazy. In this town, as big as that team is, as big as the Super Bowl is, the Broncos getting that was obviously huge. It was January 25th, 1998. I know the date off the top of my head. That's how big it is. I think this will be right there with that.
And if that indeed happens, what is going to be your makeup, I was just kidding, gift to Michael Malone?
You know what? It's funny. And my criticism of Michael Malone, I honestly think has been fair all along. He picked up the nickname because I just felt like you weren't allowed to say anything negative about the guy. And I thought that was preposterous. And it really picked up a couple of years ago when, right after Jamal got hurt, they're going into the playoffs. They're the 3 seed. And people are like, oh, you can't expect them to beat Portland. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're the 3 seed. They have the MVP on the team. They should definitely beat the 6 seeded Blazers. Now, maybe the championship aspirations went out the door, but they still have to have some expectations to win in the first round, and that's just kind of carried on since then. But if Michael Malone leads this team to a championship, I will, much like with Jared Bednar, I will happily admit I was wrong. I think he's done a tremendous job of instilling kind of the us against the world, we don't get any respect, Rodney Dangerfield attitude, and it's given this team a little bit of a swagger because they go out there and they're like, they're going to try and prove it to people and kind of stick it back in people's face. So I think he's done a tremendous job with the kind of the emotional aspect of it and pushing the right buttons. Do I think he's a great in-game tactician? No, I don't, but he's got a good enough roster, he doesn't need to be. And sometimes the smartest thing you can do is get the heck out of the way. And he's done that to an extent. But, yeah, man, he deserves a ton of credit. And I have said I will take a sign to the parade saying, you know, Michael Malone's biggest fan. And hopefully I get a wave from the fire truck.
Yeah. We will. I'm gonna expand on this a little bit in our next segment, James. But before we let you go, I do want to kind of get your thoughts. Because in my opinion, the city, the franchise has waited 50 plus years for this, and it's not ideal, I don't think, but I think we've waited this long, and the Celtics are going to make us wait another week before an NBA Finals game comes to town. Are we playing at home Thursday, or are they shipping up to Boston?
No, I think they're shipping up to Boston. And, you know, boy, it does feel awfully reminiscent of 2007 with the Rockies, right? They sweep right through the playoffs, and they have to sit there and watch the Red Sox come back from a 3-1 deficit to knock off the Indians. And, you know, that's a hot team, and all the momentum's gone. Baseball's different. I don't think you lose your momentum in basketball. But, yeah, I think they're going to Boston. I think, you know, history is going to be made tonight. If it works out that the Nuggets don't win the title, We are all going to forever talk about how they were 0.1 seconds away from winning it, because I don't think anybody doubts they would have beaten the Heat. I think that's a 5-game series. I think they beat the Celtics in 6, but not having home court is absolutely enormous. It's the first time we're all going to be able to debate, hey, you took the last month of the season off. You weren't that many wins from being ahead of Boston. Wouldn't that have been nice at this point to be opening at home on Thursday? But yeah, I think Miami had their chance, and all they had to do was box out the inbound passer and couldn't get it done. So Nuggets are opening up in Boston. I don't think it's necessarily going to matter in terms of whether or not they can win it, but I think they beat the Heat in 5. They beat Boston in 6. But, yeah, we'll be lamenting that one forever, Chad, if they don't get this done.
Well, we appreciate the times, James. If it does come to pass and the Celtics win their Game 7 at home tonight, that would mean our Wednesday, June 7th Fan Nuggets War Room would be taking place just before the first ever NBA Finals game in Denver before the evening of Game 3.
That would be a ton of fun. I can't wait for that. That'll be a raucous crowd down at Brothers Barbecue. It'll be awesome. And the fact that there's going to be an NBA Finals game, going to be at least 2, here in Denver is still pretty cool. So whether it's Game 3 or it's Game 1, the first time that happens, that's going to be historic and monumental. It's going to be great to be a part of it.
All right, James, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys, happy Memorial Day.
To you as well, and everyone out there, hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day. There's one thing that our listeners and Nuggets fan base have been very, very critical of James and others for taking shots at Malone, or even what people may have said in the past about Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray or the like. And that's kind of what I want to touch on next, Kyle, is where those individuals are now in their evolution, in their growth, in the Nuggets process, and what some of that criticism was at different points along the way. And we will touch on that next as we continue on this Memorial Day. Chad Andrus, Kyle Reese in for Schlereth and Evans on The Fan.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans. I'm sure she'd
make a really excellent mother. All right, Dante's playing with the music this morning at my room. Oh, I did this just for you, Kyle, because I know how much you love it when Matt does it.
I don't mind. It's fun. Listen, I know more music than it sounds like I know.
Do you know what this is?
Nope.
This is Alanis Morissette.
And see, Ironic is the song that I know from Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
That's it. And I like it. I could, you know.
This is You Ought to Know.
Okay. I don't.
You Ought to Know, and coming from Alanis Morissette, the reason I put this on the playlist for Dante today is because Alanis Morissette is Canadian.
Hmm.
And I think the theme throughout the postseason for one Jamal Murray, Maple Mamba, has been to a large extent on the national level, you ought to know that this is who I am. It's not Bubble Murray. It's not you shouldn't be surprised by my playoff performances. This is the player I am. This is what I was built for, and you ought to know that. And I think he's putting people on notice this postseason in that regard. Is it safe to say, we just had James Merrill at DenverSports.com on, who is constantly at odds with fan bases across the board in our town, in our state, because of his criticisms of players, coaches, organizations. And he's been very critical of Michael Malone and talked about that briefly. But is it safe to say over the course of the last several years when the Nuggets have been building towards this point, the three individuals who have been under the most scrutiny from the fan base or media, at least locally, have been Michael Malone, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr.? Would you agree with that statement?
More than fair. More than fair.
Jokic hasn't faced a lot of scrutiny. I think people have understood, like, okay, yeah, this dude is a beast and he does what he does. I mean, he's faced some nationally about haters who don't want to put him into the pantheon of great players. But locally, that people have known here, and they haven't put the Nuggets' lack of a finals appearance on him as much as they've looked at the money that is being allocated to Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and Michael Malone coaching the team.
Yeah, Teflon Jokic doesn't have the same ring to it, but he absolutely is, because he brings it night in, night out. Can you name a more consistent player in the NBA right now?
No, you get it every night.
You'd have to be trying to be critical of that dude, right? Now, the other guys that you rattled off, one of the questions I love having or asking right now is, where were you at this time last year on Jamal Murray, right? Because a lot of people were down on him, right? And look, it was a year that he took off, and I can't tell another man about his body, but it was disappointing that he didn't play in the playoffs last year. And he even alluded to it. Oh, you guys think I don't want to be out there, right? And so, we were all up in the air about Jamal Murray this time last year.
What I want to address is, if you made statements critical of any of those three individuals or the organization, it doesn't necessarily make you a hater, or it doesn't mean that you were proven wrong because the Nuggets are now going to the finals. This is the difference in having the 24-hour news cycle and the abundance of coverage in outlets that are providing commentary now, because journalism still exists, albeit not near as much as it used to, but there's so much more fanalism now to where there are outlets that are covering teams and organizations, but they're doing it through the fan lens, where it's always a cheerleading perspective. There's not critical analysis of the performance. They tell the fans what they want to hear on a positive note, regardless of what the evidence is showing. Okay? And the reason I say this is, number one, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to hear about your team and you only want the positive and look on the bright side and it makes your day brighter, absolutely consume that content. There are a lot of people who are really, really good at it. And it's there for a reason. And it succeeds for a reason. The difference is when people are reporting and being critical, and I am talking about myself here when I say about when I've said about Jamal Murray's legs and conditioning weren't up to par to what they need to be when he was getting tired all the time. When I've said Michael Porter Jr. is not engaging in the full game, he's just standing in the corner waiting for a chance to shoot. Okay. These are statements and evaluations of where those players were at that point that I thought were accurate in my assessment of their game and its development. Because they have addressed some of those things and improved upon them, and the Nuggets and those individuals have seen success because of it, doesn't make anybody that said that before a hater, or it doesn't prove them wrong. It means that the players and the team as a whole addressed where their issues were and their holes were and improved because of it. So when you point those things out, this is where they're falling short, and then they address it and don't fall short anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people that hate on Merrill at come in and get really angry at him, because he says things that at one point in time were true. And if it changes because the player, the coach, the organization addresses it and they improve because of it, okay, well, all that means is they did something to get better and address the gap.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have an issue with some of the things that James says as well, because a lot of it is in the moment, right? And if you're following him on Twitter and it's the third quarter and you're trying to figure out why MPJ isn't in the game, and James goes at that, you're going to feel like, hey, I can't wait for MPJ to be vindicated. So the next three-point shot he hits, I'm going right at James for his opinion that he had 15 minutes ago. So, I mean, you can split hairs and go back and forth on all of those things. What you were right about is, yes, you can get any type of coverage on any team that you want. Right. And so you're going to gravitate to the things that you want to hear, not necessarily the things that are always true. And look, if you find a perfect team, right, then I'll give you $1,000. I'll help you finish your basement, whatever you got going on in your life. I'm happy to help you do, because there is no such thing. Right. There's no team that can be completely absolved of any criticisms. That it doesn't exist, right? And that's what we do. We sit here and analyze these things. So it's tough when people, you know, deify their teams in that way.
RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. I've made fun of his availability, calling him Zion Simmons Porter Jr., being a one-trick pony, calling him Kyle Korver Jr., yeah. But MPJ is starting to try, coming in from Cuban Benny. Michael Porter Jr., has made an enormous leap this year in trying to round out his game. He's using his height. He's moving more without the ball. He is an infinitely better defender than he was when the Nuggets began playoff runs with him and in the bubble when he was targeted and picked on every single moment he was on the court. He is now a positive defender. Those are all things that he has addressed and improved upon. So you have to give him credit for that. It doesn't mean that you're a hater, because when Michael Porter Jr. got a $30 million a year contract, he was nowhere close to earning that with his level of play. He is becoming much, much closer to reaching his potential and being worth that money.
They were betting on the potential and doing at the time where, you know, if it actually materializes 3 or 4 years from now, you got him on the cheap. Okay, so. You know, there's some strategy involved in that. As it pertains to MPJ, a lot of people don't like this. Michael Malone, you know, will call out his team very publicly. He will talk about effort. He'll talk about attitude, two things that coaches really hate to have to coach, right? And those things really were the lapses in MPJ's game. When he tries, he's too athletic to not succeed. You're too long. You're too athletic. You're too talented. All you have to do...
He can fall backwards into 15 points by accident.
Easily. So all he had to do was try a little harder. And look at how it's materializing throughout this last series even. Man, you're dishing the ball. You're being more intentional about pushing the issue. It's been fun to watch because... You know that's the three-headed monster that the Nuggets have been looking for that has been very successful in the NBA in the last 20 years.
It's a fun process to watch.
Here's another thing that I want to get to that I don't want to get too far away from. The criticism of Jamal Murray. There were some places last year that I was not willing to go. And I'm always mindful of giving players tags that they're difficult to come back from. And like, I even think like the Ben Simmons going there with MPJ, that's difficult to come back from. One thing that I was not willing to call Jamal Murray was soft, right? Because I think in professional sports, that's a tag that you can't get rid of, right?
Well, we'll get into Jamal a little bit more coming up next. And the texts are starting to come in as well. And we will continue to include those in the program. 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line. Chad Andrus, Kyle Reese in for Schlereth and Evans today on The Fan.
Happy Memorial Day, Denver. Sitting in this morning for Schlereth and Evans. Here's Chad Andrus and Kyle Reese.
Good summertime song. Good job, don't they? This is a good between innings song at the ballpark. I approve. Dante Gomez behind the glass. Chad Andrus, Kyle Reese in for Schlereth and Evans today, and Players Club as well. We'll go till 10 o'clock before Dan Jacobs takes over. Hey, Kyle, you were starting to bring up the point about Jamal Murray's critics in the last segment before we had to take a quick timeout. And where some people went to a place that you were not willing to go last year, especially when we got towards the postseason.
Yeah. Again, you know, it's professional sports, and I know we all get, you know, you're caught up in this thing. It represents your city. You become fans of these players. You follow them. And so there's things that there's disappointments that you have. And one thing I just didn't want to go to say about any particular player was that a player was soft. I think that's a label that any professional athlete has a very difficult time coming back from. You know, I think Ben Simmons is soft, right? I think he doesn't love basketball, right? And do I think Ben Simmons is ever going to come back from that? No, right? Jamal Murray still had redemptive qualities, right? There's a lot of things to be redeemed from Jamal, and I just wasn't willing to go there with that particular player, right? So, Ben, go ahead.
The reason of Ben Simmons, in my opinion, in your opinion, likely will never come back from that is because of the definition. He is soft, and he does not care to come back.
Yeah.
He's cashing his checks. So there's a reason why.
Well, and he look, I was born in this 6'10 body, and this is what 6'10 people do. Sorry, you know, I don't really care what you guys think. So, but I do believe Jamal Murray loves basketball, right? And that's the reason that he can play through the adversity. That's why he can play through the criticism and now have his team on the precipice of winning an NBA championship because he's not soft. And James Merrillat talked about it last year when we were having these conversations. Okay, Jamal, if you sit out, then the Nuggets better be primed for an NBA championship run. And by God, here we are.
They've waited 2 years for it. And Jamal Murray was the big key. Once they played those 7-8 games after the Aaron Gordon trade, before Jamal got hurt, the decision in the organization was made at that point that this group was going to have a chance to see what they could do in the playoffs. With AG, with healthy Porter, with healthy Murray, with Jokic. That decision was made at that point, and the organization never wavered. And it was a prove-it postseason this year for Jamal Murray to come in and say, okay, we waited 2 years for this. Now, deliver. And he has delivered. But when it comes to that discussion that was had a year ago, Kyle, I don't toot my own horn very often. I really don't. I'm relatively humble guy.
Okay. But you're getting ready to.
I am getting ready to. I hope James Merrillat is still listening, and he'll remember this. Yeah. Dateline, December 10th, 2021. So this would have been early in the regular season last year while Jamal was out. DenverSports.com. At the time, it was DenverFan.com. Headline. The Nuggets miss Jamal Murray's mental toughness most of all. By Chad Andrus.
None other than.
First sentence. Nuggets desperately miss Jamal Murray. That's obvious. What team wouldn't miss an all-star talent capable of a scoring explosion on any given night running their offense? Murray's torn ACL not only crushed the Nuggets' playoff hopes a year ago, but it also sent a chain reaction down the rotation that's tough for any team to overcome. Given the injuries, blah, 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 to different players. Missing Murray's talent is easy to see on the court, but the Nuggets' current road trip has revealed another of Murray's strengths that the team is sorely missing, his extraordinary mental toughness. That's what I wrote December 10th, 2021.
So did that give you like a free pass to say whatever you wanted after that?
No, I've been critical of him after that point because I still will maintain, despite what he did in game two against the Lakers late after a terrible shooting first three quarters to come in and save the day in game two and then remain on fire in the first half of game three, I will still maintain, and you can laugh at me and call me a moron, an idiot, all you want. I will still maintain Jamal Murray is not in great shape, and his legs are not there that are in the condition they need to be in to carry a team every other night through a seven-game series through four rounds of the playoffs. The difference with Jamal Murray is once everybody else got tired, he's tougher. It's not that he suddenly found his legs and had the strength and the physical ability that other people didn't have. It's that he and Jokic push through more than most other players push through when they're tired, when they can't breathe. They will refuse to let you outwork them and beat them just because they're tired. And that is true for both of those guys, and it's a huge reason why the Nuggets are going to win an NBA title.
Well, and as a coach, I'll take that, right? Because to me, one of the greatest compliments that you can ever give any competitor is that they're tough, right? When I talk to recruiters, how tough is he? Oh, yeah. He scored how many touchdowns? Yeah. How tough is he, right? That's one of the ultimate compliments, so I'll take that. Here's the other thing about that. He doesn't have to be. The Nuggets roster, as it is currently constituted, is talented enough, right, to where he doesn't have to be the guy that plays 42 minutes, 44 minutes. He doesn't have to score 35 every night. MPJ can go off and give you 28 at any given time. When Aaron Gordon is fully healthy, he's an 18-point-a-game guy, and he's going to defend the other team's best player. It's great the way the talent is spread across the board. Now, we don't always see that because Jamal Murray will play two-man or even iso ball at times, but he doesn't have to do that. They're talented enough.
I think it's been very underreported. And in terms of national narratives and people saying the Nuggets aren't compelling, the one thing that they have continued to dive into and tell us how amazing it is playoff Jimmy Butler and how tough he is in carrying the Miami Heat. It's the one reason why I think you should still have some hope that Miami might get it done tonight in Boston. But where is the equivalent reporting of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic? Because one of the reasons they are in the position they're in, a big reason they're in the position they're in, is those two players, their best two players, are tougher than anybody they've played against. There's no comparison with Nikola Jokic and Anthony Davis.
By any stretch.
There's comparison with Jamal Murray and D'Angelo Russell. It is not close. It is about more than physical ability and talent and the position that the coach puts the guys in to succeed. It's them willing it to happen even when they're tired, even when they don't have legs. Even in the fourth game with playing every other night, Nikola Jokic going into the third quarter and grabbing every rebound and turning and sprinting it up the floor.
Yeah, I'd agree with you as a collective. As a side note, I do have to give Anthony Edwards his due because he was damn tough. And Devin Booker, I have to give it up to as well. Those two players, if we're talking about head-to-head, I got to give it up to those guys. And they willed their team, you know, to as much as that those two teams were going to accomplish with their roster. So, you know, I got to give the devil his due on those. But I would agree with you. You know, there's an element here that we haven't seen in this town as far as a mental approach is concerned that is refreshing. And that I'm hoping that absolutely will take them to the height of heights in the NBA. So I'm with you on that.
It can be the difference in a potential matchup with the Boston Celtics as well.
Yeah, because you can question just Jason Tatum's toughness a little bit. And Jaylen Brown for damn sure.
I'm going to make a comparison for Jason Tatum next and see what you think about that. Okay. As we continue on, we got another hour to go before Dan Jacobs takes over. Chad Andrews, Kyle Reese, along with Dante Gomez, running the show today. We will get into your texts at 303-713-1043 and more on this Game 7, what it means for the Nuggets, what it means for the city as we roll on into the 9 o'clock hour here on The Fan.
Hey, when you've struck out and the bases are loaded, you need a break from the game. Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like playing catch, Bathfitter is there to offer watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measures of your tub or shower and recommended products to fit that budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down, no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a home run. Visit bathfitter.com to book your free in-home consultation. That's Bathfitter. It just fits.